Firstly, in terms of other cases, I can't comment on anything else, but we set up in the department several years ago something called the Due Diligence and Counter-Extremism Group for the reason that actually we wanted to make sure and wanted to start working with schools on the whole issue of extremism, radicalisation, the influences that students were receiving or could be exposed to as part of their schools. And obviously we saw, it is an unrelated issue, but we saw the events in Birmingham last year. We've got learnt lessons from that. In terms of parents, I think it's back to the point that Kushal was making. I think it's incumbent on all of us. And I think it is a worry as a parent to know what influences, whether related to international affairs or anything else, your children, young people are being exposed to. However, I think also as parents, we still have a duty. What we can't do, I suppose, is say it's all in a slightly too tricky box. We don't understand new technologies. It is tricky, but we have to keep up with these things.
Have you heard of any other cases of children being radicalised in schools?
Well, as I say, we know that there was last year, for example, a small group of people in a set of schools who had an extremist ideology and who sought to take over those schools and to put their ideology...
No, but I mean, that was quite a famous media story. This one has got a lot of headlines, but there may well be others that are not garnering the headlines, but probably come across your desk. Does that happen very regularly?
It doesn't happen regularly. We are always on the lookout for it. And I think the wider point is that, of course, there is sadly always these possibilities. I mean, we're living in very uncertain times. And I say young people, whether it's Twitter or other social media outlets, can be very vulnerable. And I think the important point is that I think somebody's mentioned the word consent. They were young. And actually, I don't think the girls necessarily knew what they were going to. I think the point is, whether you're talking about any sorts of issues, actually, there is an age below which people actually, young people, don't know. We can't assume they know what they're doing. And actually, we have to, as parents and responsible people, step in.
I used the word brainwashing earlier. Actually, it's grooming, isn't it? It's a different form
Absolutely.
Of grooming, the same kind of process that paedophiles use.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And you know, sadly, of course, events in the last week, we've also seen all the revelations, and we knew about them before, but continuing about child sexual exploitation. I think the important thing is our vulnerability of our young people, the fact that young people are exposed to lots of pressures and often forced to grow up very quickly.
And do you think we're going to see a lot more of this sort of thing, unfortunately, over the coming years, that if we have this conversation in 2 years' time and you're still in your post, that this will be something that dominates your intro over the next 2 years?
I do think that the influences on young people are going to, they are, of course, they're going to be very important. They are going to be growing in that importance. And I think leading on to that is, how do we equip our young people to be resilient and to cope with those pressures? I mean, there's always
and
been
is that
issues.
Where the prevent strategy has actually failed?
Well, I think it has been successful, but I think it's very, it's difficult. It's uncertain times. These are fast-moving events, and I think that people will always try to stay one step ahead. Whatever you're talking about, there are very clever people out there who will seek to manipulate those who are more vulnerable.